My name is Jean Billingham now, but I started life as Jean Rawlings in a nursing home at Brislington, which is an outskirt of Bristol, on the 7th of March, 1932. From there, I went to school at Whitchurch, the village where I lived with my parents, and then to Bristol, where I was one of only seven children from the whole of Somerset to gain a place at a Bristol grammar school. Having completed my schooling, I went to the Bristol Royal Infirmary and trained as a state registered nurse. I stayed as a staff nurse for a while, and then I married a Dr. Andrew James. We were in general practice in North Devon and moved up to Gloucester. As I grew up, I started the endoscopy department with Professor Gere at Gloucester Royal Infirmary, and the department still runs. Later on, I divorced Dr. James and moved to 15 St. Barnabas Close and looked around for some other job. I then went with a group practice as their practice nursing sister for a while, but I was very anxious to become a district nurse. Well, the senior partner, a Dr. Cookson, came in one morning and said, "Jean, you may want to be a district nurse, but I think I've found something that's going to be a lot more interesting." He said, "It's an advert from Fielding and Platt, and they want an occupational health nursing sister. They're prepared to pay for your training, and I suggest you take this advertisement from the Citizen and apply." So I did. I was called to Fielding and Platt, and I was interviewed by the works director, who was a Mr. John Pugh. Oddly enough, I'm still in touch with him through his secretary, who has become a firm friend all these years. I still hear about him through her and know that he is continuing to keep well. I was interviewed by John, who immediately said, "Now, I haven't a clue about nursing, so you'll have to tell me about it." The interview went well, and as I left, he said, "I think we shall be employing you." So, to Fielding and Platt I went in 1977, and I qualified as an occupational health nurse with a national qualification, having trained one day a week at Cheltenham, and it was part of, funnily enough, of the district nurses training centre there. Came back to Fielding and Platt and set about my job. I was involved with first aid. People could come and talk to me about any medical problem they had, and I would advise them. And, of course, I cannot talk about individual people, as you will understand. But one of the most interesting cases is a lady who still sees me in Tesco's as I shop, and she remembers that I had insisted on her going to see her doctor about a nasty little mole on her leg. She didn't want to go because she wasn't very fond of her GP. But anyway, she took notice of me and went. She was in Frenchy Hospital the next day. They removed what would have been a malignant melanoma, and had it become malignant, she would sadly have died within 3 months. As you can see now, this isn't 1977, it's 2013, and she still reminds me every time she sees me. It was a very interesting job. People got to know me. I was welcome on the shop floor. I could walk out and go round the parts of the factory so that I could learn what job the men were doing. Interesting it certainly was. Noisy in parts, yes, but the management had supplied hearing protection and eye protection for those working on machines. No particular smells, it was just a general factory smell, really. I didn't have to clock in. I was trusted to be at work at 8 o'clock in the morning, and I was allowed to leave at 4:30 a little before the workforce, so that I didn't get caught up in traffic. I was allowed to build up the few first aiders there were into a very active little group, and I was encouraged by the management to go and qualify as a first aid trainer. The First Aid at Work Act had come in 1974, but Fielding and Plant management were very keen for me to train as a first aid trainer and organised my training with St John's Ambulance Brigade. I had some problems with the factory in that a previous nurse had tended to talk to other people about people that she had treated. And I soon found that sticking my heels firmly in as only I can, I would not discuss details of individual patients with anyone. Management were extremely cooperative and learnt that they couldn't ask me detailed questions anyway. But when someone had been off sick with some condition, the managing director, Mr. Lindsay German, would send for me and interview me. And his opening words always were, "Now, I know you won't tell me details, sister, but I need to know if this gentleman can come back onto his machine or whether he should have light duties." Knowing, because I'd been all round the factory, what most of the work involved, I was able to give an educated comment as to whether he was ready to go straight back. And this often involved ringing the GP and talking to him about the patient. And I became well known by doctors in the city. And they were prepared to talk to me and say, "Well, we'd rather he had light duties for the first week that he was back. Or, no, he's perfectly fit and can go back on to his normal duties." Mr. Lindsay German was quite funny. He would say to me, as soon as I walked through the door, "Now, I know you've got to be discreet, sister, and if I ask a question you don't feel you can answer, then please tell me. Some of my duties took me away from the factory. I visited employees if they were in hospital. I visited some of them when they were ill at home. I liked the workforce. They were very appreciative of what I did. And they knew that I wouldn't go into details with management about whatever the condition was I was coping with. Not a lot of accidents at Fielding and Platt. I think they were a very careful workforce. But I spent a lot of my time explaining to individuals what their doctor had meant when he said so-and-so and so-and-so to them. I found for a while, though, that people would just come barging into the surgery, whether I had a patient or not. So the electrical department was involved under the charge of Monty Blunt to put in lights for me on the waiting room door. And we constructed a nice little waiting room out in the corridor just behind the main surgery. And we had a red light for you must not enter, a green light for you can come straight in. I must admit, I found they were very, very cooperative, the management, and they soon learnt to trust me. I didn't get involved particularly in social and sporting activities. I'm not a very sporting person. But I did make a lot of pickles and chutneys, which were sold by Wally Windridge in Dispatch. The money raised went towards parcels for retired Fielding and Platt personnel at Christmas. They had a very good cricket team, seemed to do quite well in competitions. They had a skittle team, but eventually, and this is a secret which I don't mind giving away now because a long time has gone by, the new personnel manager, a Mr. Stephen Hall, called me into his office one day and said, "Look, sister, I'm very worried because I think you've got to know that redundancies are coming and the workforce is going to shrink." Now, these are his words, not mine. "You are one of the best occupational health nurses I've had the privilege to work with, and I think you should start to look around and find a job. It's a shame for you to be lost to occupational health." I applied to a firm called Engelhard's in the Forest of Dean, was immediately accepted, and within a very short space of time, the union convener came to see me and said that his men didn't like Sister James on my surgery door. Did I mind if they called me Sister Jean? Well, I had no objection, as long as they didn't just call me Jean. And that nickname has stayed with me ever since, through my time at Engelhard and at ICI when I finally retired. About 2 years after I had left Fielding and Platt in 81, I had a phone call from a Mr. Brian Billingham from Fielding and Platt, asking me if I would like to go out for a drink at Hoarbridge. I said yes, but I would meet him there. I never liked to be picked up and taken in somebody else's car. I much preferred my own. So we met. The friendship developed. And in 1985, we married. Brian later retired from Fielding and Platt, and we've had a very happy and enjoyable life together ever since. I think Fielding and Platt gave me a very good basis for the rest of my life, and I'm very grateful for the time that I spent there.
Thank you very much, Jean. That's been very, very interesting. Could you just going back just a touch, could you explain, you say Brian phoned you up one day and asked you to have a drink. So I assume, obviously, you met him at Fielding and Platt.
I had met Brian at Fielding and Platt, but he was just, I'm afraid in those days, just another member of staff, with an unhappy knack of cutting his fingers in his garden and coming to see me about 2 or 3 days after he had the accident, and he ought to have gone straight to casualty and had it stitched. Too late to stitch, and I had to dress it.
And I'm sure you've trained him in better ways since then, Jean. Thank you very, very much. That's been a most interesting experience, and it's been an absolute pleasure interviewing you. Thank you.